Thank you so much, Steve. Hi, everybody. It's Bill and Wendy. Let me just keep you up to date on what's going on right now. We're waiting to hear from the president, as he will be speaking any moment now. Steve, the plan was there's some words being said in Florida at the site of yesterday's shooting.
Right. The sheriff and investigators, in fact, doctors are talking now just about the different things that they went through yesterday. So kind of a first day review news conference. And the White House said, you know, that's going on there. They weren't going to interfere or interrupt that. So once the news conference in Florida is complete, then we expect to hear from the president and the White House.
All right. Just keep an eye on that and let us know, and we will certainly break in for that. Our intention was to open the show, Wendy, with White Sox broadcaster Ed Farmer.
God, I love him.
And he is on hold. He's in the bullpen, which makes sense because he was a relief pitcher during his career. So he is he's waiting patiently, and as soon as we can fit Ed Farmer in, we will. I am very anxious to speak with Mr. Farmer.
I'd love to have Farmer on, like background there, doing play-by-play for your show.
Yeah, wouldn't that be fun?
Oh, he's so good. I really just love him.
I missed another one.
Another error. You'd hear the word error a lot.
Oh, man.
He's a good man. Well, we'll fit him on the show today, and if, you know, we have an action-packed show today, so if we can't fit him in because of time, then maybe we'll talk to him tomorrow.
In the near future. We're hoping for today, but we'll see.
I did do a lot of news watching as this tragedy broke when we left yesterday, and I am sick of hearing about it. You know, I know I'm not alone when you say, as a parent of kids who go to school, you freak out a little bit. My heart goes out to the parents just getting to the school to figure out where their kids were, texting with their children. I had read that one parent all of a sudden was not hearing them, wasn't getting any communication back in a text form, and freaked out, heard from the kid. The kid was okay. Also saw the video on Snapchat of this kid videotaping the room where people are already under the desks, and he's freaking out about that. And then all of a sudden you hear these pop, pop, pops, and it's, I went back and forth. Do I show my kids this? Do I not? They're going to find it on their own. I think they should see it. But then why? Why do I think they should see it? To be prepared. Well, what do you do?
Right.
And how does this end? And how does this kid who had issues, first of all, not get help? Second of all, how does he get back into the school?
He had already been, as you know, he had been expelled from the school, and kids who knew him in school kept saying over and over again, keep an eye on this kid. This kid is a very scary kid. You got to keep your eyes on him. Steve and I were talking about this morning, and you and I have discussed this in the past. As many flags go up on somebody, if you are to call the police and say, hey, there's somebody we really think you should keep an eye on, they really scare us, the way they act, the way the police will go, well, what have they done? And when the answer is nothing, I don't know what they can do.
But the kid being expelled is something.
Oh,
and I
sure.
don't know if police officers talked to this person. I don't know if this kid was getting treatment.
Yeah.
Again, I start thinking of this poor kid's parents.
Well, his parents are gone.
All right.
His mom died just recently, right?
Yeah.
Several months ago.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
I just know that people need mental health help sometimes and can't get it. And I also, you know, there were warning signs. He was not allowed to bring a backpack into the school when he was attending there. But how did he get back in? I mean, how? I know there are security guards. I have a son who graduated from high school. He went to visit his choir teacher a couple of weeks ago. I said, did you stop and get a pass? He said, no, I saw some kids I knew and walked in. I'm like, dude, you're not supposed to do that.
You know, yesterday during this, I was thinking about the high school I attended. I went to Oak Forest High School, and there were countless entrances and exits. I can't even tell you
when
how
you
many
went
there.
Were.
When I went there, but I also remember that if a kid, any kid, if a door was locked, which they usually weren't, sometimes they were, all you had to do was knock and somebody would come and open the door. They wouldn't look to see who it was. It was just somebody needs to be let in. I'm going to let them in. So I don't know if it's still that way at schools. I have no idea.
No.
It's a lot more guarded.
Just to go pick up my kid for a doctor's appointment, I have to show my driver's license the first time that I go. Once it's in the system, it's fine. All the doors are locked. If they do open, I would imagine there are alarms on them at this point.
You'd hope.
After the bell rings in the morning, the doors are locked. You have to buzz yourself in. It's really way different from, you know, when kids used to sneak outside when I was in high school to go have a smoke, and they'd come in by the shop and, hey, knock on the door to let us back in.
Yeah.
Not saying I went out and
smoked. Guys don't mind, the superintendent of the district is talking about this right now.
Again, I'm not privileged to provide that information at the moment. But it is a student that we have been providing supports for and recognize that there certainly were challenges there. The specifics I can't get into. As far as the student coming on campus, this particular individual came on the campus at the time of dismissal, and that is a fairly open time for the campus, and he entered the facility at that moment. So that's...
The district was aware that there's a potential problem that a disciplinary record is having been expelled, is having been enrolled.
The superintendent being asked about the student's record and potential problems here.
He was out there, and then he had caused problems in the past, correct?
So let me just say this. When we have students within our care in the district, we provide the services that we can provide them. This is bigger than just the school system. Our kids are out of our schools two-thirds of the time that they're up. We need a community-wide approach to helping our students with challenges and mental health concerns. And so, again, we've got to invest resources to make sure that we minimize the occurrence of this ever happening again, because if we don't, it's not a matter of if, it's going to be when.
That's the superintendent of the high school district there, Bill and Wendy. Just I jumped in just because he was addressing the very question you brought up.
Yes.
And he said because it was dismissal time that the schools were a little more open than they would have been typically.
And it's not the school's fault. The school can only do so much.
Sure, of course. Of course. Steve, yesterday, as the story was breaking, the belief was that the shooter had hit a fire alarm to get more kids to come out of their classes or earlier than they were expected. To be easier targets, sadly. Does that hold up? Is that still the belief as to what happened yesterday, or have they changed their story on that?
I didn't hear that.
You didn't?
I heard there was an earlier fire alarm earlier in the morning, and I don't know if maybe someone knew what was happening and pulled the alarm to get kids out of the school. I don't know that this particular shooter did.
Right. I've heard that he did, Wendy, that was the suspicion anyway.
Okay, thank you.
Now, here's something tragic from last night. One of the guys I played tennis with last night is a principal at a grade school in the northern suburbs. And I said to him, what do you do the day after something like this happens? You're the principal of a school. Do you call all the kids together in the hall and do you talk about it? How exactly do you handle it? And he just looked at me and he said, that's how we used to handle it. And I said, but not anymore. He goes, no, because there's too many now. He said when they were spaced out further, we would certainly do that. We would have some sort of a thing in the assembly hall, and we would talk about it and say if anybody has any feelings that they want to discuss, you know, there's somebody here we can talk to. He said, but it happens with such frequency now that we can't do it every time. And that's tragic because, as we've said before, you don't want to become numb to this. Yesterday's events changed people's lives forever. You know, the families of those kids, their lives are changed forever, and their friends, those lives are changed forever. So you can't ignore it, but in a situation like that, because of the frequency, this is like the 11th or 12th
18th.
School shooting.
I'm 18th? Just looking at it because 18th. I read that earlier. Since this year, 2018, we're in
the
February.
Year. Right.
I was shocked.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you shouldn't have one, let alone 18, in less than 2 months.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I'm sorry. You know, I have one kid who has a school refusal issue, a lot of anxiety, and there are other kids who have trouble, peer pressure, and there are other kids who have low self-esteem and get bullied. Add this to that. How do you get your kids to school?
Right. I imagine there's got to be a lot of residual fear from kids who say, that could have been me. Even if it was at a different school, you say, boy, 18 times in a year, at what point is this going to happen at my school? And, you know, that becomes so scary. Just frightening.
And I know, I was listening to Steve Cochran, and I know vote, and I know, you know, assault weapons should not be legal. What else do we do? Give me a path to follow of what I can do to make this go away, and I will do it. And I think there are listeners out there that hear this and just vote. Just give me a plan. What can I do as a voter, as an American, as someone who can't stand to see this anymore?
Right.
What do we do to make this happen?
I think what Steve said earlier is the first step. I don't know what the next steps are, but the first step is we got to stop putting in office people that are in the pockets of anybody benefiting from this, and that's the NRA. It just flat out is.
They benefit from this particular thing right here today?
In an indirect way, yes. Here's something interesting.
Gun sales go up.
Always.
After things like this.
And yeah.
Now,
yeah.
I don't want to hear, I don't care what your party is, and I don't care what your solution is. There can be a variety of good ideas of fixing it. I don't want to hear anyone tell me today is not the time to talk about it.
Oh, my God, today is. You know what? 18 school shootings ago was the time to talk about it.
Yes. There's a woman named Bess Kalb. She's a writer for Jimmy Kimmel's show. So what she's been doing is every time one of the politicians puts a tweet about how sad this is, she then tweets how much money they have made off the NRA.
Ugh.
How much? All right. So Marco Rubio said yesterday, just spoke to Broward School Superintendent. Today is the terrible day that you pray never comes. To which Bess Kalb said, $3,303,355. That's how much money the NRA has given to Marco Rubio's campaign. Cory Gardner, another politician, I'm heartbroken for the students and family that was involved in the horrible tragedy, and I'm praying for our first responders as they act swiftly to contain the situation. To which Bess Kalb responded, $3,879,064. That's how much his campaign has taken in from contributions from the NRA. Rob Portman, another politician, heartbreaking news out of Florida. Jane and I send our prayers to the school, the community, and the victims of the tragedy. Bess Kalb responds, $61,941. She did that with about 20 different politicians who all responded, who are all accepting, gladly accepting money from the NRA for their campaigns.
Am I the only one who feels like I'm going to throw up hearing this?
Well, and the other way to look at that, you guys, is it's not always the money in that is the exercise of influence by the NRA. What they will do, they've been successful in running people against politicians.
Sure.
Who stand up against them. So it's not always that people are voting their way because they're getting checks from it. Sometimes they're voting their way because they're afraid to be challenged back in their district.
Yep.
By an NRA-supported candidate.
And how,
I mean, it's amazing. If you look at statistics, I mean, statistics are on the sides of changes, whether it's assault weapons or increased background checks, or, you know, what happened to the thing they called that allowed a semi-automatic to act like an automatic, the bump stock?
Yes.
Right? That was going to be easy after Las Vegas. What happened to that? Nothing.
In Nevada, I think they changed the law, but I don't know that they did anything nationally.
No,
right?
They talked about in Congress it was going to happen right away. It was an easy thing. Everyone agreed. Most Americans, a majority of Americans agree, and most in Congress say they agree that's a bad thing. Nothing's happened on it.
Because what happens is there's a 2 or 3 day bubble every time one of these situations happens. For 2 or 3 days, people are just outraged and something needs to be done. And then it just becomes a story that fades away.
If I can just give you a little bit of an update on where we are, the news conference in Florida has just wrapped up. So we expect President Trump to come up here pretty quickly.
Shall we pause for a quick commercial break or shall we stand by?
I just don't have any guidance on that, Wendy. I would say it could happen any moment.
Why don't we do this? Let's go to a break and Steve, monitor it. And if we need to break into the commercials, we'll do that. Okay. All right. So more show ahead. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
And it's
okay. We go live to Steve Bertrand.
President Trump yesterday, speaking from the White House.
A school filled with innocent children and caring teachers became the scene of terrible violence, hatred, and evil. Around 2:30 yesterday afternoon, police responded to reports of gunfire at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida, a great and safe community. There, a shooter, who is now in custody, opened fire on defenseless students and teachers. He murdered 17 people and badly wounded at least 14 others. Our entire nation, with one heavy heart, is praying for the victims and their families. To every parent, teacher, and child who is hurting so badly, we are here for you, whatever you need, whatever we can do to ease your pain. We are all joined together as one American family, and your suffering is our burden also. No child, no teacher should ever be in danger in an American school. No parent should ever have to fear for their sons and daughters when they kiss them goodbye in the morning. Each person who was stolen from us yesterday had a full life ahead of them, a life filled with wondrous beauty and unlimited potential and promise. Each one had dreams to pursue, love to give, and talents to share with the world. And each one had a family to whom they meant everything in the world. Today we mourn for all of those who lost their lives. We comfort the grieving and the wounded. And we hurt for the entire community of Parkland, Florida, that is now in shock and pain and searching for answers. To law enforcement, first responders, and teachers who responded so bravely in the face of danger, we thank you for your courage. Soon after the shooter, I spoke with Governor Scott to convey our deepest sympathies to the people of Florida and our determination to assist in any way that we can. I also spoke with Florida Attorney General Pam Bondi and Broward County Sheriff Scott Israel. I'm making plans to visit Parkland, to meet with families and local officials, and to continue coordinating the federal response. In these moments of heartache and darkness, we hold on to God's word in Scripture. I have heard your prayer and seen your tears. I will heal you. We trust in that promise, and we hold fast to our fellow Americans in their time of sorrow. I want to speak now directly to America's children, especially those who feel lost, alone, confused, or even scared. I want you to know that you are never alone and you never will be. You have people who care about you, who love you, and who will do anything at all to protect you. If you need help, turn to a teacher, a family member, a local police officer, or a faith leader. Answer hate with love. Answer cruelty with kindness. We must also work together to create a culture in our country that embraces the dignity of life, that creates deep and meaningful human connections, and that turns classmates and colleagues into friends and neighbors. Our administration is working closely with local authorities to investigate the shooting and learn everything we can. We are committed to working with state and local leaders to help secure our schools and tackle the difficult issue of mental health. Later this month, I will be meeting with the nation's governors and attorney generals. We're making our schools and our children safer will be our top priority. It is not enough to simply take actions that make us feel like we are making a difference. We must actually make that difference. In times of tragedy, the bonds that sustain us are those of family, faith, community, and country. These bonds are stronger than the forces of hatred and evil. And these bonds grow even stronger in the hours of our greatest need. And so always, but especially today, let us hold our loved ones close. Let us pray for healing and for peace. And let us come together as one nation to wipe away the tears and strive for a much better tomorrow. Thank you, and God bless you all. Thank you very much.
President Trump at the White House speaking a day after the school shooting in Parkland, Florida, that left 17 people killed. The president offering messages both of condolence and of hope, and speaking directly to young people who find themselves in a troubled situation on this day. We'll continue to follow that and all the developments, Bill and Wendy, and keep you updated.
Thank you, Steve. Greatly appreciate it. We will take a quick break. Steve will give you the rest of the news and then more of the show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Get the orange soft drink with 10% juice. Mandarin orange slice.
We got the juice. We got the blast. We got the taste that no one has. We got the juice. Orange slice.
And for cola lovers, cherry cola slice with 10% juice.
We got the juice. We got the twist.
Cherry cola slice.
We got the cherry cola's miss.
Cherry cola slice. We got the juice.
Mandarin orange and cherry cola.
Slice, slice.
Slice is coming back, Wendy.
What about the regular slice?
There was no regular splice. Splice? There was scary splice. There was posh no. splice. Mark Toman is here. He is a hero.
He's
of ours.
Amazing. Oh, my God.
A Chicago entrepreneur who, whenever there was something from your past that you go, oh, no, that's gone. I love that. Why don't they make that anymore? Mark steps in and says, yeah, let's make that again. And he does. How are you, Mark? Nice to see
Very
you.
Very well. Thanks for having me, Bill and Wendy.
Absolutely.
Just from a moment you walked in bearing gifts, what is it about the things that were old that are new again that are it's just nostalgia. Isn't that what it is?
Yeah, brands really never die. It's apart from a lobotomy, you can't really take that memory away from someone.
Mm-hmm.
And what I really love is when you have a brand that has, you know, a reason to believe again.
Mm-hmm.
I'll take it back. I'll make it new. It's no different than taking, you know, buying a house from the 1800s and
which we did
and restoring it to circa 2018. And that's what we do with brands. But you have to make them relevant again. Even if you buy them for very little, you have to invest in them. You have to really look at the characteristics of that brand and make it relevant to a new demographic.
Let's start out with Slice, originally owned by Pepsi, I believe.
That's right.
Okay. So they had, I want to say, 6 or 7 flavors, didn't they? I remember about a half a dozen.
Six flavors. They also, you know, they also had a diet version of
it. Yeah. So it had been gone for at least 15 years, right?
I think they had probably a rebirth of it probably in the early 2000s.
Oh, did they?
They had a exclusive deal with Walmart.
Yeah.
And so you could only buy it at Walmart for a period of time. So it became discontinued somewhere in the 2000s.
And then, Slice, the original flavor was lemon lime, wasn't it?
Lime, and they had
orange. Mandarin orange.
And their whole thing was 10% real fruit juice.
Right. All right, so it's kind of in the background for a while. Is it you or is it somebody who comes to you and says, hey, you know what I miss is that sliced soda? How does that happen?
It depends on the brand. In some cases, retailers will come to me and say, hey, you know, we're looking for a soda brand or something that you could bring to us, or a cellular wireless brand or a consumer electronics brand. And I'll go through a series of due diligence looking at, you know, what brands were relevant in those categories. Sometimes, you know, my lawyer, who actually did a tremendous amount of work on, you know, finding the Slice brand, will say, hey, you know, the Slice brand is looks like it's been discontinued. Maybe we should look at reviving that.
Mm-hmm.
But the brand has to have something about it that makes it relevant again. With Slice, if I was just going to relaunch it the way it was back in the day,
mm-hmm.
I probably wouldn't be interested. If you look at the sugary soda category, it's in decline. People are trying to go from sugary soda to something healthier.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly, my generation's looking for healthier alternatives to soda. I don't let my kids drink soda, for example. I don't think they've ever had a sip of soda.
Are you kidding me? How old are they?
I have a 7-year-old, a 10-year-old, and a 13-year-old.
And they've never had it ever?
Never had soda.
You're a great man.
Yeah. So taking a brand like Slice and
I just got a text from your kids that says, we hate our dad.
I can't even believe that.
So taking a brand like Slice and looking at the beverage category and saying, okay, what are people drinking right now? People are drinking a lot of seltzer water.
Yeah.
They're drinking a lot of cold-pressed juice. They're looking for things that are just better for them.
Right.
And so reinventing Slice as a quote-unquote soda, but with no added sugar, with organic cold pressed juice potentially as the only additive in the seltzer water, that to me is a relevant relaunch of a brand that means something to everyone.
Oh, sure.
Here.
That's great.
Yeah.
And the great thing about these brands is a lot of times the consumer remembers the high attributes, but they don't remember exactly what it was.
Right.
So if Slice was still on shelf, doing what I'm talking about would be extremely difficult. Because
you needed some time away to reinvent.
That's right.
Yeah.
You mean, look at Brim Coffee. Right?
Yeah.
Brim Coffee, we relaunched Brim about six or 7 years ago. And, you know, 85% of the consumers over 40 remember Brim, but they don't really remember exactly what it was. It was a decaf coffee.
Ah.
Mm-hmm. So bringing it back, we brought it back first as an appliance. So you go to Target and Walmart and the mass retail, and you can buy a Brim coffee machine. And then within the next few weeks, we're actually bringing Brim back as a low acidity, roasted coffee. And that to me is something that doesn't exist, that, you know, many consumers who can't drink coffee because of acidity levels will actually buy.
So, Mark, when you reestablish a product like this, who do you market towards? Do you go for the nostalgia people who remember it originally, or do you go for younger kids who it's a whole new venture for them, or do you split that up evenly?
It's a really great question, Bill. I mean, it really depends. If you were simply to look at nostalgia, I don't think I would do it.
Yeah.
Because you certainly are playing off the nostalgia and the people remember it. But if you don't reinvent it in a way that a new consumer can say, okay, this is really interesting. Yeah, maybe my father or my grandfather or my mother drank it or used it. But, you know, this is now something that I would use. So if you look at, Slice is a good example. If you look at a brand that I acquired a while back called Iowa. Iowa was a giant $2.4 billion
stereo equipment. Stereo I had equipment. Iowa in my car.
Exactly.
Home components.
Big, big brand.
AIWA.
Yeah. We acquired it. I found an incredible management team, a guy named Joe Bourne and Mike Sullivan, who were in the consumer electronics business, had a company that was doing pretty well, but didn't really have a name. So when you go to talk to a Best Buy or a Target, and you're Joe's Electronics, in this case it was called Hale Electronics, you go and you talk to a Best Buy, they don't really know who you are, but they say, hey, that's a great product, but you don't really have a brand.
Mm-hmm.
So I took the Iowa brand, formed a joint venture with Joe and Mike, and now it's the new Iowa USA, and we're doing great.
Excellent.
And we have an incredible product lineup, and it's a new relevant Bluetooth speaker and headphones.
Oh, nice. Good.
But if we were just to relaunch a turntable, I'm not sure people would really buy it.
Right.
Although vinyl's very popular.
That is true.
You might want to think of that.
Look at a brand like Cross Colors. Cross Colors was really the first hip-hop apparel brand. It really invented the hip-hop apparel category. We had all sorts of stars that would wear it, like Snoop Dogg and so forth.
Yeah.
I was putting my little one to sleep the other day, and I fell asleep reading a book, and I woke up, and my phone is exploding with texts, and I go, whoa, what's going on? And I look at my phone, and there's pictures of Bruno Mars and Cardi B wearing Cross Colors.
Oh, great.
My God.
That's perfect.
So we're actually sponsoring Bruno Mars' World
Tour. Oh,
I love
that.
You're doing okay there.
Yeah.
Wow, excellent. Mark Thoman is here, Chicago entrepreneur who's in the business of bringing back your favorite items from the past. If you have any questions or comments, we're at 312-981-7200. We'll be back after this. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Mark Thoman is our guest. He's the managing director of Spiral Sun Ventures. He's the owner of Dormitus Brands. He's in the business of bringing back your favorite products from the past, reinventing them and reestablishing them and making them available again. We know of you because we were reading the story about Slice, the soft drink that is coming back, and you said 4 or 5 months we'll have it on shelves.
Yeah, we already have probably 2,500 retail commitments to the brand because people do believe in the fact that it's coming back as a healthy beverage.
What are the calories now? Because you go for my kids drink soda. I know your kids don't. You're the strangest man I've ever met in my life. But there's like what 100 and some calories per can of Coke or something like that. 120 or something.
Something like that. It's not good.
Right. So what are the calories in this new Slice that's going to be no added sugar and fruit juice and basically seltzer water?
We haven't completed the formulations. However, the first run of product was less than 40 calories and no added sugar.
It's quite a difference.
Yeah, and the sugar content from the juice will probably be somewhere between 7 to 15 grams, most likely 10 grams of non-added sugar from the fruit juice.
Because my kids either will go with a Coke or water, and it's like slice will be right in between, and not that it's good for them, but way better than soda and tastes delicious.
I'm hoping we're right. We're not always right, but you know, what I do now is I invest through Spiral Sun into the health and wellness products, and Slice was where really where my two worlds could coincide together. So we saw an opportunity to buy a dormant brand, to acquire the IP rights to it, and relaunch it as a healthy beverage, and it fits perfectly with what I like to invest in now.
When you say you're not always right, give us the one that you tried and you went, well, this is going to be a huge success, and for whatever reason, it just didn't work.
Well, Ceylon Selectives, I still love the brand. We hired the former management team from Helene Curtis. It's still a great brand. It's still around today.
Yeah.
But you can't take these brands and assume they're going to be what they were before.
Right, sure.
And so if you look at saying, okay, we're going to put it on TV, we're going to do what Unilever and Helene Curtis did with it,
yeah,
it's a fool's errand, in my opinion. I think you got to be scrappy. You got to be really ingenious in how you market these brands, and they really do have to be different. They have to be, they have to be great products. You have to have a great team executing on them, and you can't spend money like a drunk sailor.
Right. Somebody has texted us, will you let your kids drink Slice when it comes out?
Oh, yeah. What a great question.
That's a great question. And whoever that is, get their name and number and address, and they'll be the first ones to try some.
Oh, that's very nice.
The answer is yes, because it will be healthy. They currently drink juice and they drink water. They don't love sparkling water, but
no.
I'll let them try it.
You mentioned Ceylon Selectives. Would you consider Body on Tap?
You were going to bring that up.
Did you know? Do you remember Body on Tap?
I do remember that. It smells really good. I would run away from that as quickly as possible.
For people who don't remember it, that would be a wise move. This was shampoo that had just enough beer in it.
That's right.
It was shampoo with beer in it.
There was hardly any beer in that. It just looked like a beer.
Right, it was.
Why aren't you bringing up our Jell-O 1-2-3 that you and I lived for?
We want Jell-O 1-2-3 to come back in the worst way.
Do you even know what that is? Do you remember that?
I don't remember it. Now I will do some research. I'll look at whether or not it's something that can come back. But my guess is Jell-O, because you know it's part of a franchise.
They won't part with it.
They won't part with it.
Spell it differently. I don't remember 3 L's in Jell-O.
It was a type of Jell-O that you would basically mix.
Yeah.
And as you poured it in a parfait glass that my aunt always did,
yeah,
each there would be three different layers, and it would gel that way. You didn't do any extra work. There was a bottom layer of regular Jell-O, then kind of a mixture of Jell-O and whipped Jell-O is the second layer, and then the top was very frothy.
Yeah.
And it just did it on its own.
Good.
It sounds great. Oh. I'm not sure how healthy it is.
What about Sizzoline?
Sizzoline would
Somebody
be good.
Wants to know if Sizzoline can come back.
Sizzoline is a brand that I would probably
look at if it's
available.
Chocolate bars.
Ooh.
Or marathon bars would also be good.
Marathon bars
we actually looked at years ago.
Did you really? Yeah.
And they brought it back as an energy bar. So they ended up doing it internally. I can't remember who actually owned Marathon.
But didn't Coke do that with Tab? They brought it back as an energy drink as opposed to like a diet soda.
But
they
it's been out there as Tab for quite some time.
Yeah.
I didn't know there was an energy Tab too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
For example, Sizzoline's a good example of a brand that and a product that was probably really, really, really bad for you. I like the name,
yeah,
and I would reinvent Sizzoline to make it healthy and something that people could actually feel good about eating.
Who makes the final decision on these? Is it you, or is there a board of directors that bandies the ideas about and go, well, you know, maybe let's give it a shot? Who's got the final word on this?
I have the final word.
Yeah.
However, I'd do focus groups. I'd talk to people like you and I'd say, hey, you know, is this something do you think that could
Bill
work?
Bill is a great resource for you. I can tell you now. I'm not kidding.
I can't afford him.
You can afford me. You can definitely afford me. Just give me one marathon bar a month. That's all I ask.
You got it.
Beeman's gum. I think that's still out there. I loved that.
That has come back.
That's right.
Somebody's trying that.
Space food sticks.
Yeah.
Space food sticks from Pillsbury.
I don't know it.
Oh, it's so good.
But it sounds interesting.
It's so good. All right. So from the, give me a time frame. Once you come up with the idea of, yeah, we're going for it, we're bringing something back till it's on the shelves, is it vary or is there a standard amount of time?
It varies. I have a great team on Slice. You know, Glenn and Ian from Revolution Brands are doing all the heavy lifting.
Yeah.
I have a great partner and the, my IP litigator came out of Kirkland.
Yeah.
Spiral Sun and our team is obviously very, very much vested in this. So it will most likely from A to Z be a 3 to 4 month process.
Oh, that's not bad at all.
Before we actually have a product ready to launch. And
yeah.
Then it's the retailer's decision on when they put it on shelf.
Yeah.
So when I say, or Glenn and Ian will say it's going to be a 6 month process, most likely you won't see it on shelf until the retailer's ready for it.
Yeah.
You know, Treasure Island, for example, will put it on shelf immediately.
Oh, really? Good.
So you'll at least have a smaller retailer that will most likely have the product, you know, right when it's ready
yeah.
to launch.
Yeah.
So yeah, it varies, but most of the time it's a 12-month process.
Is it? Okay.
Will you come back and see us? Because we're out of time, and you are a fascinating man. Also, there was something called National Family Opinion that my mom subscribed to, where they'd send her new products, and she'd, you know, write. It was way before computers. She would fill out forms and send it back. You can use Bill and I and our audience as like a test audience for things that to see if it would work. If you'd like, we'd like to volunteer ourselves.
I would absolutely love that. I'll take you up on it.
We're in.
Please.
You can have all of the old products that I bring back.
All right.
You can have some of these new healthy products.
All right. Cocoa 5, you're behind this. This is amazing to drink.
Cocoa 5, Spiral Sun is an investor along with some other people. It was developed for some of the Blackhawks players,
mm-hmm.
and it's doing extremely well, and I'm honored to be part of it, and hopefully it will be a big success nationally.
It's the best of the coconut drinks, hands down. I've tried them all. That's the only one that
the best taste.
Oh, by
best
far.
Flavor.
That's so good.
Please come back.
Wonderful to hear. Thank you, and I will take you up on the focus group.
Oh, yes. Absolutely. Thank you, Mark. Mark Thoman, everybody. We'll take a quick break. We've got some news and then more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Well, he went down to dinner in his Sunday best. Excitable boy, they all said.
David Hochberg is here.
Hakalaka Ding Dong.
Hakalaka Ding Dong.com is his website.
I'm getting that on my license plate.
Did you hear the news about the White Sox?
Something about...
they're going to be on this station,
really?
The White Sox. Yep.
That's exciting.
Couldn't be happier.
Congratulations.
We can all go to a game together.
We could go to a game.
That would be fun.
Do we have to go with you?
Well, that's mean.
That's the most hurtful thing I've ever heard.
He's just, fun to go.
You
to
eat
a
lot.
With.
You're just a sloppy
that's
eater.
Just hurtful. I mean,
no, and he won't high five you. That's
he won't. Will not
high.
That's
not
what I mean.
High five you or anybody else.
Anybody. He's a germaphobe. So like, we got to elbow five each other.
It's not that I'm a germaphobe. I just think that the high fives should
like
only be the. No, I love people.
He only high fives family members.
You know how many games I've invited you to, and you've never gone to a game with me.
When you say never, you're wrong. You and I went to a Blackhawks game together.
Did we?
Yeah,
it was very memorable.
Vancouver 4-2.
Okay.
Yep.
Wow.
We
he
did.
Put that in his mental
we
memory
did
book.
Know. Okay.
It's
yes.
In my diary.
So he went to one out of the 400 games that I
and but, I have not gone since.
Yeah, right. And we had a very good time because it was a win.
Because every time there was a goal, you said tickle fight, and I went no, that's not what you do after a goal.
I do want to say that I am so proud and happy that we have the Blackhawks.
It'll be exciting.
I mean, the White Sox, because they have just not gotten the attention and the love that they deserved, yeah. And we are the place to give it
great
to them.
Great young team.
Yes, and the reason we brought you here today is we want to know about refinancing White Sox Park. Is there a way we could redo that?
Yes, but there's another
team
mortgage
Hochberg
company.
Field.
Yeah, what do you
think
of that?
There's another mortgage company that's already invented $6 million a year to put their name on it.
Well, so. We tried.
Yeah.
Tickle fight.
Tickle
all
fight.
Right, David, why don't you get the Hancock Center?
Well, yeah. Well, you know, that's 875 North
Michigan
Avenue.
North Hancock
North
Drive.
North Hancock Drive. I was, you know, another Chicago iconic building changing names. What
isn't
is going
crazy?
On here?
I refuse to call it anything but the Hancock Center.
We're calling it Hancock. You
I call it the Hancock.
Us.
Yeah, Sears Tower is still the Sears Tower.
Yep.
And Macy's is still Macy's.
Toys R Us is still Bargain Town.
That's right.
And Pearl Mortgage is Pearl Mortgage.
P-E-R-L
Mortgage.
David.com.
Yep. And yeah, all right. Well, we'll give you all that. WGNDavid.com. And you are the VP of Mortgage Lending at Pearl Mortgage, Inc. And closing costs, you hear a lot of advertisements where people say, we will beat their closing costs or there will be no closing costs. What's the deal?
Well, here you got to be careful with closing costs, because I was at a gas station filling up my tank, and And there's the Rocket Loving Lenders ad popping on. So I'm just like, wow, they're everywhere. I can't even fill up my gas tank without seeing an ad. I watched the Super Bowl. They're going to be sponsoring last year they did the March Madness extravaganza, where if you get the perfect bracket, they'll give you $1 million. So I called up and applied for a loan myself. I wanted to see. Yeah.
Look at you, investigative reporting.
I went undercover. And I said, I've got this. I've got a plain Jane situation. They ran my credit, and they emailed me, and because I wanted to compare and contrast, I sent it to Ross Cochran, who's my trusted assistant here.
Your youthful ward,
my youthful ward. He was going to post this.
He is wearing tights. That's what's weird.
And a cape.
Yeah,
it's all about the cape.
I don't understand.
He looks fantastic in a cape.
You do look pretty good, Ross.
Yeah, a blue cape.
Yeah,
I don't know why blue, but he likes blue. And so I said, hey, I've got this scenario, and they sent me a quote, 3.875 with over $88,000 in closing costs. Mm-hmm. And I said, what if you credited all the closing costs back to me? And they were at 4.37 at the time.
Oh,
it was about a month ago.
Up.
Oh, it went up substantially. It was 4.375 if they credited back all the closing costs.
But that's a stupid thing to send back to you, because they already quoted you a lower rate, and now their rate goes up.
It's not stupid. It's just giving people an option, right? So, so I send it to Ross. I said, Ross, here's the scenario. Okay, I said, just price it out and send me the pricing screen so I have it in case anybody wants to come back to say that I'm making this up. And I have the email from the Rocket Loving Lender, and I have the email from Ross of what our pricing was going to be. Our closing cost at 3.875 was $5,000 less than the Rocket Loving Lender.
Wow.
Considerably different.
Considerably different. Yeah. And our rate, if we were to credit closing costs back to the borrower that day, was at 4.125 and not at 4.375. So as soon as I got it, I sent it to Ross. I'm like, here's a scenario. I said, just put it in the pricing engine and send it back. So people have to be careful, right? This is a public service announcement out there. It costs money to do everything, okay? There's no such thing as a free ride. And, no closing costs, no closing costs. That's another crock of baloney, too, because there are closing costs. There's title fees. There's $400 to $600 in title fees. There's credit reports. There's all the stuff we have to do with the government. There's appraisal. There's
appraisals,
everything. So
yeah.
So it costs about, $2,000. Some lenders charge you $3,000, and other lenders charge you $5,000 to $6,000 in closing costs. So you've got to be careful of what you're actually getting.
But what do you do if you are the person borrowing money and you say, well, I saw in your ads it says no closing costs,
right,
and now we're doing a deal, and it turns out there are closing costs. Well, how do you handle that?
Well, you have to ask what it's going to be There are closing costs with everything, Bill. There's no such thing as a no closing cost loan. So what the proper way to ask it is, what rate do I have to go into in order to get the closing costs credited back to me?
All right.
Okay, because there are closing costs with everything.
Yeah.
Okay?
Or not you pay them is
you either pay it through a higher rate, you finance it into the loan with the higher rate because the lender, takes the credit they make with the higher rate and gives you a closing cost credit.
Right.
That's how it works. There's no such thing as no closing costs. Or you could go to the Rocket Loving Lender, who wanted to charge me $5,000 more for the same transaction or a quarter of a point more. And I hear the ads. I love the ads.
Does sound good.
Oh, it sounds really good. We hired 17,000 people and we turned Cleveland around. We turned Detroit around. You know what? If I charged that much money, made an extra 5 G's in every loan, I could take care of the state of Illinois' pension plan here. Oh. No shortage real quick, and take care of the Chicago school, public
here
school challenges
getting
all the time.
Upset,
you get
Wendy.
Me fired up. We're not even at the first commercial break.
Are you sensing it's subtle, but
if I did as many loans as they did at $5,000, jamming people $5,000, I could pay for a lot of things too.
Yes.
Absolutely. I can hire 18,000 people.
Yes.
But here, public service announcement, just be careful of what it is. And all because you're standing there at the gas tank and it's taking you 4 minutes and 37 seconds to fill in your tank and you see two ads, press this button and be approved. That's a bunch of crap too, okay? So it's...
There's a lot involved. I know you, and it took me a while to be approved. And the first time I wasn't able to be approved.
Right.
I had to fix my credit.
Right. And there's all this pre-approvals. Don't even get me started. And
no,
plus interest rates are up. And then I got another guy out there quoted, if you're not in the 3s, call us. This is the same guy who was saying, you're not in the 2s, call us. Listen, rates are in the 4s right now, and they're going to 5. Okay, we've been talking about it for years. I've been on this radio station saying you got a better shot
happening
of hitting 5 than you do hitting 3. And you know what? We're trending that way. Ever since the January 10th or January 9th, somewhere in there, we've been on an upward scale of interest rates. And people better be aware of it, because we're getting calls from people that we talked to in November and December that were out looking for homes. And
right.
We're like, you know, what's the rate today? Oh, you know, you're in the mid to high threes. And then you tell them, oh, you know, you're at 4.25, 4.375, whatever the rate is. And they start firing on us. Well, you know, bait and switch.
Mad.
You know,
yeah.
what, I'm like, it was 60 days ago.
It's not your, it's, you know what it is, David? It's El Nino, isn't it?
It's El Nino.
Yeah, a lot of it is El Nino.
Yeah. Right, it's a nor'eastern.
Yeah, it's got to be. All right, we'll take a quick break. David Hochberg is here. He seems upset, but he's not. He's pretending to be upset, but he's not upset.
He's not pretending.
And my nickname is Harkberg.
Harkberg.
Yeah,
that's what the kids are calling
him. That's what kids are
312-981-7200.
I got a bad case of the Harkberg.
More after this. It's Phil and Wendy, along with David Harkberg on WGN.
I say this, I know this was a live read, a commercial,
yep.
But David, I trust you, and what I like about you is you're honest. If somebody wants to call you and maybe they want to get a refi or maybe they want to do a home equity line of credit, if you can't help them, you're 100% honest about it and tell them, here's what to do. If people right. follow your advice, then you can help them.
Yeah, we got a call from a WGN listener yesterday. Her husband listens to WGN. Wife calls us. One of our loan officers on our team, Cindy Piazza, talked to the wife, told her, what it was. They didn't have a lot of money for a down payment. They had a challenge in the past with a bankruptcy or foreclosure, whatever it was. I'm on the plane coming back from the Hawks game with WGN Radio. And as I'm taking off, I get this email from the CEO saying unhappy client. So I forward it to the loan officer. I'm like, mm-hmm. I'll call you in 3 hours when I land. So I find out. I call the borrower back. I try to get a hold of the husband who wrote the email. I talked to his wife. Turns out the wife wasn't happy with the information mm-hmm. that my loan officer gave her. But it was the truth of what it was. You know, like, hey, if you don't have a lot of money for a down payment, we have down payment assistance programs. We do a ton of loans with IDA, the Illinois Housing Development Authority.
Okay.
And or it's IDA Mortgage now, I think they call it. And basically what it is it's a down payment assistance option of a little over $7,000, but the rate's a little higher. And with their credit, this is what they would qualify for, right? She wasn't happy.
There
with
weren't
the,
a lot of options.
There wasn't a lot of options. And, but you know, she wasn't happy with the information that she got. She was a little disappointed. So she told her husband, and her husband took it the wrong way from the wife told her.
Oh.
And then, you know, I get this email, you know, your loan officer made my wife cry. I'm like, what the hell's going on here? You know, I know Cindy Piazza. She's one of the best loan officers around in the industry, and she's not like that at all. And I talked to the wife, and she's like, I was just disappointed with our situation with what, you know, Cindy gave us. And, you know, she didn't do anything wrong, and I'm sorry my husband did that. So, husband, if you're listening, you're a truck driver, you know, please don't, you know, want to whip my rear end. It was like, you know, I'm sorry that the information that we gave you wasn't what you were expecting, but, you know, this is the information. It's just like when you tell people that want to refinance that the rate's in the fours today.
Right.
And you know, they get upset. We're getting a ton of calls from your listeners who
have... Yeah, they just went up on our HELOC.
Home equity line of credit. But a home equity line of credit, a lot of people's home equity line of credits are either ballooning because it's been 10 years,
I wasn't locked in.
Converting, right.
Yep.
Okay, so they're going from a 10-year interest only into a 20-year fix. I got a guy going from $300 up to over $900 a month. Okay, plus when you take out a new line of credit now, it's not tax deductible under the current new tax plan that just was passed.
It for sure isn't?
Not home equity line of credits. Old ones are, new ones aren't. So you've got line of credits that are ballooning, and the payments on this guy is tripling, almost quadrupling. And we're like, well, you know, here's your option. You're at 3.875. You're going to be in the mid-fours right now by combining them. And he's all upset that his rate's going to be in the four. I'm like, listen, Spartacus, it's not about the rate. It's about the monthly payment.
Right.
Right?
It really is.
It's about the monthly payment. His name is Spartacus.
Yeah.
Okay? And,
well, so you don't hear
when
name
you say,
a lot anymore.
And then, you know, what happened was everybody stood up around him because they're like, who's Spartacus? And then everybody started standing, and everybody said, I am Spartacus.
Oh my God.
Spartacus is going to go with the rocket now that you've irked him.
Well, that's fine. But I told him, I'm like, forget about
Sparky,
the rate.
Listen to me.
I'm Spartacus.
I'm Hochberg.
The monthly payment is exactly the same.
Right.
With leaving your three whatever and combining them into a four. Your payment's the same. And now you're able to write off the first loan.
Yes.
Check with your tax preparer. I'm not a tax expert.
Right.
But it should be tax deductible under its first.
Right.
And he's firing back. I'm just going to refinance my second loan. I'm like, okay.
And, you know, here's the
Go
thing.
Ahead.
I know that maybe your parents, mine didn't, but I don't plan on ever paying off my house. I mean, unless
Please.
You're a millionaire.
Thank you.
I'm not. You do, Bill?
I'm going to pay off your house, yeah. Merry Christmas.
He just gave
That's
me
my
a
Christmas
look,
present.
Because my youngest son asked me, you know, you have a 30-year mortgage. Are you going to pay it off in 30 years? You know, haven't you been in the house 20 years? And I said, yeah, but we've borrowed against it.
Right,
you know, so
right.
I don't plan on ever paying it off.
I was talking to a guy locally who was out in Napa, and he was visiting a friend in Napa, and then houses in Napa start, it's all seven digits, right? They're all million-dollar houses. And he's walking around the vineyards with the guy, and the guy's like, how could people afford to live here? And he's like, everybody's got interest-only loans. And that's the only way that they could afford to live.
So they know it's temporary. They're not going to pay their houses off. They know
Well, it's not temporary. You just keep paying for the rest of your
interest
only
loan. You can get a 7-year or a 10-year interest only loan on the first 5 years of any 30-year amortized loan, fully amortized loan. You're only paying the principal down by 7% anyway. So 93% of your payment's going towards interest.
Wow.
Okay? And the only way
you're going to pay your house off?
I would like to.
Well, sure. Everybody would like to.
I'd like to get into a pair of 34-inch pants. That ain't happening anytime soon either. But
Jasmine, bring in a pair of 34-inch pants for Mr. Hochberg.
Yeah. It'll get up to my kneecap. Right. Yes.
Is Dan's here?
Yeah, my dad might be able to get into him, but this Hochberg Jr., there's no way in heck that's happened. No way.
Right.
No, but
I mean, yes, it would be a perfect world if you got to pay off your house, but I know maybe two people that have paid off their house.
I'll tell you what.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, you know what else is a perfect world? On your $500,000 house, that you're not paying $13,000 in real estate taxes on your $500,000 house, which are people doing.
Yes.
Okay. So it would be a really perfect world if we get the real estate taxes under control here.
Yeah. What do I do about that?
Move to Indiana. Okay, you know that's what you do because it's not happening anywhere.
Can you finance me if I move to Indiana?
Yeah, we're licensed in over 30 states, and Indiana's one of them. It's a fantastic state.
Fantastic. you want some escargot?
You want some escargot and a refinance? That's a new promotion. Oh, when you refinance, you get some escargot. I don't know.
You don't know. How do people reach you when they need
that.
Help?
You go to 312-751-1333, 24 hours a day.
24 hours a day.
7 days a week.
Whoa.
And also, we are bilingual. Not me, but I have Spanish-speaking loan officers. And if you listen to La Que Buena, you'll be hearing Team Hochberg ads now in Spanish.
You did Wendy's loan in Farsi. I didn't think you could pull it off.
I am huge in Farsi community.
847 is texted, Wendy, you will never be able to retire unless you get your house paid for. Think about it. Who's retiring?
Mm.
Please.
I'm not going to be able to retire. That's why I picked a career.
I've seen your finances. You're never retiring.
Never.
You're
going to be going. No, here. People paying off your homes, right?
Yeah.
In all reality, most people that listen here are not going to pay off. Are not going to pay off their home.
I think it's adorable that you think you are.
I'm going to try.
We all are trying.
And after you get done with hers, can you come over to mine?
Yes,
take care of mine.
Get everybody's.
That's right.
Feels
money's
cute.
Falling from the sky. That's
home payoffs for all my friends.
Hey, bring it on. No, but it's still great. I was talking to another guy today. He's like, man, who's complaining about 4? I remember when they were 12 and 13.
Yeah, that's what we bought at.
Yeah, it's like, much 12%. Better now.
He said to me, he's like, who's complaining about 4? When I got my first loan, it was 12.5% at one point. Then I got a choice of steak knife, stemware, or toaster.
Right.
Okay? WGNDavid.com, Vice President of Mortgage Lending at Pearl Mortgage, 312-751-1333. Anything more, Hakalaka Ding Dong?
No, I'm good. I'm good.
And say hello to Spartacus first.
I will say hello to Spartacus.
Hello.
And you are Spartacus.
I'm Spartacus.
I am Spartacus.
Thank you, David.
Take
a quick break, then some news, then more show. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Who loves the Blackhawks?
Everybody does, Wendy.
Listen, I love the Blackhawks, and they're kind of on a losing streak a little bit.
They're going
right?
through some tough times. They'll be okay.
It's not over yet. As Steve Cochran said this morning, the fat lady has not sung.
I didn't hear her sing.
So we have a pair of tickets for you, the listener, to see the Blackhawks versus the Washington Capitals. It's a game happening this Saturday, February 17th. And check this out. You'll also get two tickets to the WGN Radio post-game live show following the game from the brand new concert club inside the United Center atrium. Have you checked out the atrium yet?
Yeah, I like it.
It is so
beautiful.
Cool.
Yeah.
It's like McCormick Place.
Mm-hmm.
It is really cool.
Mm-hmm.
This exclusive experience features
it's like the Louvre.
Sort of.
It's kind of like the Louvre.
This exclusive experience features current and former players, this little party, a DJ, food, and access to a cash bar. If you're going to the game this Saturday, go to WGNradio.com/events, and you can sign up for the opportunity to get a post-game live show ticket, or we have a pair for you right now. This includes game tickets and the post-game show tickets, a pair of each.
Mm-hmm.
How do you want to do it?
Caller number eight.
Caller number eight.
You know why? Because I just ate.
God, 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. Caller eight.
He knows which movies make you laugh and which ones make you cry. If you love films, then Dean's your guy. So grab yourself some popcorn. He will not talk about hard points.
Hi, Deanie. Hi, Deanie Weenie.
Wendy.
Dean, how are you?
Belated happy birthday to Wendy.
Oh, thank you, my dear.
Isn't that nice of Dean to remember?
I wished her happy birthday on Facebook.
I saw it.
I wanted to say it to her face.
Oh. You go above and beyond.
That and it's weird that, like, literally a minute ago, an overweight lady came here and almost started to sing.
But she didn't sing, did she?
No, I put duct tape on her mouth.
Good, thank you.
The Rubenesque woman did not sing, for the record.
He was about to. I'm like, hey,
right.
Well, zip it.
Not sing. And Mike from Cary, Illinois, is very happy you put the duct tape on her mouth, too, because he has just scored our tickets to see the Blackhawks versus the Capitals on Saturday night, and he's also going to the WGN Radio post-game live show at the brand-new concert club inside the United Center atrium. Congratulations.
It's crazy.
Yes, yes.
I heard you were doing some Olympic action this morning.
Sort of.
Some WGN radio personalities.
Justin Kaufman was out there,
and Violetta Pod Dramatic.
They were both there. They were one team. Sarah Jindra and I from WGN TV were one team. And a couple of people from the US 99.
Oh, yeah.
If that's a real station. I'm not even 100% sure.
Lance and Stoli? Is that
were they out there?
Is that that's a drink, isn't it? I think I'd like to have a Lance and Stoli, please.
Lance on the side, if you wouldn't mind.
We've been doing radio versus TV Olympics all week long.
Who usually wins when it's radio versus TV? Hard to say.
Yeah, it's been a pretty even mix this week.
Did you hear what the contest involved?
Today's contest, Bill, was we put shaving cream all over our heads.
Uh-huh. The guy did.
The guys did. There were three guys.
You and Justin Kaufman and the guy from US 99.
Right. And our partners threw cheese balls at us.
Oh.
And whoever had the most cheese balls stuck to their faces and heads with the shaving cream would be the winner.
That sounds like fun.
So we
still could have done it.
Yeah. We wanted you guys to come and do it, but I guess the timing didn't
work. The timing was not good.
And I don't think Bill would have participated.
Oh, I'm not allowed to have cheese thrown at me. Doctors have told me.
This is cheese puffs.
Dean, but there's cheese in cheese puffs.
I'm pretty
cheese
sure
dust.
There was no cheese whatsoever.
Well, not real cheese.
Yeah.
Right. It's artificial
orange
cheese.
Stuff.
But doctors have informed me that because I have some sort of an enzyme thing where you're not allowed to toss cheese at me. It's so sad. I wish I could have.
You could have been the tosser and Wendy.
Maybe.
Like I'd put sour cream
you
on my head. Or shaving cream.
Shaving cream.
Sour cream, maybe, but shaving cream, no.
I did get the idea after we did this that next Super Bowl, and you're both invited, I am going to put French onion dip all over my head with Fritos.
People
can throw Fritos at me and then just, you know, take a little chip and dip right off.
Yeah, right off of you.
Nothing sounds more appetizing.
Oh, my God. It's like you laying there with sushi all over you. This is even better.
Right, I can walk around and talk. And you want some Fritos? I come over and stick my head in your face.
I wish it were the Super Bowl right this minute, Dean.
Me too.
Oh,
me
man,
too.
That would be
I'm gonna
fun.
I'm going to go do it at home when I go home today.
Practice,
That would be so much fun. All right, before we get to movies, there's a couple of show business stories I want to run past you. Story number one is, for years and years and years, whenever Jerry Seinfeld was asked about a reunion, he just flat out said, no, we're not getting back together.
Yep.
But now all of a sudden he seems very open toward the idea.
Yeah, open-ish, I guess I would say, because he was on Ellen DeGeneres the other day, and Ellen asked him about this because Murphy Brown's coming back, Will and Grace is back, Roseanne's coming back.
Mm-hmm. Hair Bear Bunch?
Full... Full House, yeah. My Mother, the Car, they're yeah. all coming back.
Yeah.
And so Ellen thought, you know, maybe this is an opportunity for Jerry to make an announcement. And he said, it's possible.
Oh.
They wouldn't have Kramer come back, I bet.
No, they would.
Really?
Yeah, they would.
He got into some trouble.
Has enough time passed with that? I was thinking about that. I don't know if I can look at him the same way
But
again.
Remember, Dean, when they did, on Curb Your Enthusiasm, they did kind of a reunion where on the show, Larry was bringing back everybody for, you know, another go-around. Michael Richards was part of that, so if they were going to use him then, they'd certainly use him now.
I guess so. I mean, he was you know, certainly a very funny part of the first show.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I don't know how that would work. And also, Jerry Seinfeld simply saying two words and not elaborating whatsoever is anything but any sort of confirmation that it might happen.
Well, True. Clearly, Dean, he's out of cash. He needs money, right? He must be broke.
I'm sure he's probably
doesn't make any money at all from residuals.
I can't get cheese balls.
And he doesn't make any money on that comedian's drinking coffee in the car.
Nothing.
Thing.
So he,
you know, he makes $750,000 an episode for that.
Does he really? Boy, that's a lot.
That's too much.
But isn't there a guy? There's a guy suing him because he says it was his idea initially, right?
Is it James Van Osdall?
No.
No, it's not James Van Osdall.
Oh. No. I forget the guy's name, but it's not that. It's
he's a writer, right?
It's a guy who said that this was his idea. He pitched it to Seinfeld. Seinfeld turned it down, and then several years later pitched it again to Seinfeld, and they tried it, they shot it, it worked, and then the guy said, shouldn't I be getting, like, sort of, you know, a little piece of the pie here?
Yeah.
And that's where it is right now. He's suing Seinfeld, trying to get some ownership rights.
To the whole
I hope
thing.
If it was true that Jerry says, you know what, dude, I will give you some money.
That would seem equitable, wouldn't it? He should
like
do that.
Seinfeld would do that. He seems like a nice guy.
Right. Yeah. That unless it was Newman. Was it Newman?
Newman.
Hello, Newman.
Dean Richards is here. We're going to talk about what movies are coming out. Is this the week we can talk about Black Panther finally or not?
Yes, it is.
I've heard great things without hearing great things for several weeks now about this.
Nice weekend, everybody. My work is done.
All right, some Black Panther discussion coming up with Dean next. Stick around, Bill and Wendy, WGN.
All right, we are talking to Dean Richards. We're going to find out about Black Panther, which is a movie everybody's raving, or I should say talking about. I just got an alert on my phone. You wanted me to share it with Dean.
Dean, there's some big show business news that just broke seconds ago.
I have some that just broke.
All right, well, you break it.
I wonder if it's the same.
I'm sure it is. I told you that Dean would have this information. Does
Wendy
it involve
has
a wedding?
No.
Oh.
All right.
What's yours?
Mine is that Smashing Pumpkins just announced they're going to be playing the United Center August 13th.
Oh.
And tickets go on sale February 23rd.
Does he go back to Billy Corgan?
He is back to Billy.
Not he was William Corgan for a little while.
He was William Patrick Corgan.
Oh, right.
For a little while.
Right.
Well, that's huge.
Yeah, so that's pretty big that most of the Smashing Pumpkins will all be back in this.
Interesting. Well,
what's
my
news?
Amy Schumer just got secretly married to Chef Chris Fisher.
What?
Yep, it's true.
You didn't get an invite?
Did not.
She wed a John Hamm lookalike named Chris Fisher at a private ceremony in Malibu on Tuesday, February 13th, and Jennifer Lawrence was there. They're friends.
So the guy's really ugly, then.
Yeah, poor thing.
He doesn't look like... I'm looking at a picture of him. Does he look like John Hamm? I don't think he does. Do you?
I just lost the picture of him.
Does he look like Smoked Ham?
Yes.
I'd marry somebody.
Wouldn't that be the perfect look for your husband, Wendy?
Yes.
So those stories... Those stories just broke, and my water just broke, Dean.
Oh, stop
it. I have to leave the studio. I can't stay.
I'm looking at this guy. He doesn't look like John Hamm.
Not even a little bit.
Well, that was the Hollywood Reporter that gave me my breaking
news. They were being very
news.
Kind to him. He does not look like John Hamm.
It kills me that's the alert I get. I got to change my settings of who sends me alerts, news alerts.
That's a good alert, though.
Yeah.
You want an alert like that.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
All the big celebrity weddings and, you know, announcements. Tommy Lee got engaged yesterday.
I saw that to a very young girl. He's 55. He's
she
double
is,
nickels like
yeah,
I am.
And she is, I think,
39 or
31.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, 34-year difference between the two.
Boy, does she know where he's been? Because, you know, really, that's all I got to say.
That could be what attracted her.
They haven't gotten around to talking about that yet so far.
Right.
All they've talked about is...
They haven't talked.
Daddy, what's Motley Crue?
Oh, I bet. Right, because she'd be too young to have remembered them, certainly in their heyday anyway. Yeah.
He doesn't look a thing like John Hamm.
I don't think he does.
The Amy Schumer is...
Yeah,
Amy Schumer's husband.
Tommy Lee, of course, does not.
Amy Schumer's fella.
Yeah, Tommy Lee, his kids are, I think, 20 and 21, so she's older than the kids, at least.
She'll be able to play with them.
Yeah, right. Oh, yep, yep. Dean, I hate to bring this up because this is sad news, but Scott Baio's in some pretty deep trouble, too, isn't he?
Second accuser came out yesterday and said that he was verbally abused by Scott Baio, that Scott Baio would frequently use homophobic slurs about him, and also is alleged that Baio exposed himself to this young
actor.
To the same guy?
So he's doing these homophobic slurs and then he whips it out? So
according to the allegations, those are the things that happened. This, 1 week after an actress on the show...
Nicole Eggert
said that she had a sexual relationship with Baio when she was a minor. This young actor who was also on the show, he was only... He said that all of this happened... Alexander Polinsky is his name, that all this happened to him when he was between the ages of 12 and 14. So he was quite young when... If his allegations are true about Scott Baio... Baio, through an attorney, is denying all the allegations, said he's going to, you know, fight every inch to, crush these allegations against him.
Right.
And he should, if they're not true. Yep. I mean, that's what we always expect. If they're not true,
fight it.
We understand that.
Yeah, you got to fight it. All right, on to better
he's
news.
Charles in charge, so he
is Charles in charge.
And he seems like he's a hothead, if you want to know the truth.
Oh.
He really does.
Interesting.
What makes you say that?
Didn't he get snippy about him supporting Trump? He got very snippy if you didn't agree with him. He seemed like he'd be a hothead to me.
All right.
That's it.
I can see that. I guess I can see
I didn't
see
get
that.
An alert for that.
Oh. Let us know if an alert comes up on that, Wendy.
He was very rude when he turned down Amy Schumer's proposal. That I know.
This is much better news, I hope. Finally, Black Panther is in theaters. And what do you think, Dean?
I think it's fantastic. I think it's so great. I love this as a superhero movie, as a Marvel action movie. It is every bit as good as any of the others, and in fact far better than many of the other Marvel movies, but the message is the star of this movie. That's really the bottom line of this movie. As Marvel movies, sort of Marvel movies were first created to tell stories that were happening during the McCarthy era, Joseph McCarthy era of the Red Scare, to bring up social issues but present them in an entertaining way. This one does as well, about issues which are so prevalent to what's going on in the world today, of how if one person says the sky is blue, the other says the sky is red. That there is so much divisiveness that's in the world right now, that what this movie, part of what this movie's message is that we have to learn to get along with one another. Otherwise, we're going to destroy each other. Otherwise, we will all die.
Yeah,
and that's sort of what this movie is about. It's born from, at least in the movies, it's born from the original Marvel comics from the mid 1960s. The Black Panther character, well before the civil rights group, the Black Panthers, in the late 1960s. The comic book was around first. This
Dean, I have to confess, I always thought it was the opposite way. I didn't know until just now that which came first.
Yeah, the comic book was 1966, and the Black Panther civil rights group, I'm not exactly sure what's the best way to describe them, but people who were fighting for equality, and Eldridge Cleaver and Fred Hampton and all the rest, that came more in the late 1960s is what I read last week. So, in the movies, in the last Captain America movie, at the end of the last Captain America movie, at the United Nations, there was a terrorist attack, and the king of an African nation was killed in this terrorist attack. His young son, we saw this only briefly in the last Captain America movie, his son was tapped to become the next king of this small African nation called Wakanda, which, as you know, is right next to the African nation of Crystal Lake.
Right across the street.
And right next to Wonder Lake.
Yes, right.
To go in the, it's part of that chain of lakes area that's so famous in Africa.
Good fishing.
The movie picks up at that point where T'Challa, Chadwick Boseman's character, has to prove himself worthy of becoming king, and does. But he's threatened with another force that wants to steal the resources and the technology of this independent African nation. The king, T'Challa, Chadwick Boseman, wants to live peacefully and wants to get along. And he's the side of the argument that we all have to get along together. On the other side of that is the character played by Michael B. Jordan, who you remember from the movie Creed and Fruitvale Station, among others. He was in Fantastic Four briefly. I'm sure he'd rather not remember that.
He was Human Torch in that.
But he represents a force of... he's going to steal the resources and the technology of this African nation, and he is going to level the playing field. All the wrongs that have happened to his people, to African people, to black people, are going to be corrected by his actions. What I saw in this movie was a real metaphor for Martin Luther King Jr. and Malcolm X, where one was trying to solve problems through nonviolence and one was by any means necessary. And that's where the superhero conflict in this movie comes to pass. But the real power of this movie are in two other ways. One is that the King's Honor Guard are all women, and that every strong character in this movie are women.
Yeah, baby.
And this is one of the most empowering female movies I think I've ever seen, maybe even more than Wonder Woman.
What great timing.
Wonder Woman.
Good.
And great timing with Me Too and all that which is going on. There's an overwhelming message in this movie that a woman does not have to be subservient to anyone whatsoever. Mm-hmm. The other part of this movie, which is so strong, is the feeling of African self-identity. This is a movie about African culture performed by African people, and it's exactly what all of the rest of us have been seeing in movies where there was just a sprinkling of black people in the movie. There were only a sprinkling of white people in this movie.
Interesting.
Because all of the primary characters, the powerful characters in this movie, everybody is black in this movie. And it's different. It's groundbreaking in movies. It's powerful. I saw black people in the screening that I was at in tears.
Oh, wow.
So proud to see themselves up on the screen. So proud to see depictions of their own ethnicity up on the screen being shown, not being a slave, not being a maid, not being in some secondary or subservient role. So in that sense, this movie is a game changer in many ways. I remember when I was little, and my grandmother would see a Greek person on television. Seriously,
it made her feel good and important.
She felt so proud to see somebody doing well who was like her. And this movie so strongly projects all of that.
Dean's List?
I loved this movie. I gave it a Dean's List A.
Outstanding.
Excellent.
Dean, have a great weekend. It was great to talk to you.
Have a great weekend.
That's Dean Richards, everybody. We'll take a quick break, find out what Steve has next. Bill and Wendy, WGN.